Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Knowledgeable.
Listen, here's what's wrong with your hypothesis, your theorem, your supposition, your postulate.
Honest.
If that front ain't in gangsta, your back end won't be able to show its full potential.
Understanding.
You're going to suck. You're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Passionate.
I'm all over social media. I live it.
This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Hashtag facts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
I'm certain that throughout time, people have had this exact same feeling when they had to go into great conquests. It's what most guys think the Super Bowl experience will be like, but the Super Bowl pales in comparison to this.
The fact that we were going to a Super Bowl was basically anticlimactic. We had beat the team that everybody hated with a passion.
What does 38 years ago mean to you? And I'm not even talking about the fact that most of you recognize the sound coming into the show and what it's from. It was 38 years ago today, Saturday, January 22nd, 1983, that I think this football franchise had its biggest and most impactful win in franchise history. I would put this number one ahead of the three Super Bowls. And you heard Theismann say it. The Super Bowl was anticlimactic. The win over the Cowboys in the January 1983 NFC Championship game, 38 years ago. How many of you listening have zero idea in terms of personal experience with that game? Many of you certainly remember it. I still refer to it and have over the years, and it's without a doubt the sporting event that I've ever attended that I'll never forget more than any other. It's the loudest, most raucous, most electric environment I have ever been in, and that includes a lot of sporting events outside of this town. Super Bowls, World Series games, playoff games at Yankee Stadium. That was the loudest and the most raucous and the most incredible atmosphere I have ever been in. And those that were there that day will agree with me. You can weigh in via Twitter at Kevin Sheehan DC. 38 years ago today, Washington beat the Cowboys 31-17 to advance to Super Bowl 17, where they would win that against Miami. More on this game coming up during my What Do You Got segment. Want to start real quickly this morning with this, and I'll get to some of this later on, but I was just reading this right before the show. I missed it yesterday, but Bill Barnwell, who writes for ESPN.com, you know, he writes these very long pieces on ESPN.com with tons of data and tons of opinion injected. But it's very analytically based typically when he makes predictions. Now, I'll tell you, his playoff predictions have not gone very well. And there are a group of us, and I'm not going to mention the people's names, that take Barnwell's columns, especially when they are predictive columns, and we go against Barnwell would be considered on the list of what we call go-againsts. Now, I am a go-against this year with the smell tests, so I concede that. You know, not everybody's right all the time. In fact, I haven't been right much of the time at all this year. But anyway, he put out this very long story yesterday predicting next year's 14 teams that will make the postseason in each conference, assuming 7-7, which is right now what it will be. And by the way, the schedule, more likely than not, regular season-wise, will be 17 games next year. And in the AFC, he's got the Chiefs as the number one seed, the Ravens as the two seed, the Dolphins as the three seed as the AFC East champs, Jacksonville as the AFC South champion. Then he has Buffalo as a wild card behind Miami, Pittsburgh as a wild card, and he's got the Patriots making the postseason in the AFC next year. He's got close calls for the Titans, the Browns, and the Colts not making the postseason. Now we move to the NFC. He thinks that Tampa Bay next year will be the best team in the NFC as the one seed. The Packers, the two. And then right when I was scrolling down through the projected 2021 playoff teams, all right, it would be January of 2022. In fact, the regular season, you know, if the regular season is 17 games next year, we will only be approaching next year at this time the divisional round, the second round of the playoffs, because the regular season won't end until the second weekend in January. Anyway, as the NFC champions and the three seed in the NFC playoffs, he's got the Dallas Cowboys. The 49ers are the four seed as the NFC West champion. Seattle, Atlanta, and the Rams are the wild cards. The teams that are just going to miss out on the playoffs are the Saints, the Bears, and Washington. This is something I want to bring up because I was curious as to whether or not he would have Washington as the division winner or Washington as a postseason team. And beyond the fact that every year is different in the NFL, except for, you know, certain teams that are always there, the teams that have been pretty much sustained winners year in and year out over a long period of time, you know, he's got some of those in the postseason. Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh and New England in the AFC. In the NFC, he's got the Packers and he's got Seattle as constants. And we know what those teams are, and Washington is trying to become one of those teams. You know, the teams that I just mentioned are all teams that have had pretty much stability at the head coach slot. They've had very good ownership, and they've had consistency at the quarterback position. But those of you that are absolutely convinced that this year was a building block year to something much more spectacular next year and even greater the year after that, it is a fleeting thing in the NFL. You've got to take advantage of it when you have the opportunity because there are no guarantees. And as we were going through towards the end of this season, I wanted them in the tournament, so to speak. I wanted them to have the experience. I wanted us to have the experience. I wanted to take a swing at it, especially towards the end of the year after that win against Pittsburgh, when I said to Cooley on my podcast, I'm not putting a limit on this team. And Cooley said, you can't put a limit on this team with the way they're playing. And then right before the playoff game against Tampa, I said to Cooley, as I listened to him, I said, you don't think they have a chance, do you? And he said, no, they don't have a chance. That's how quickly your opinion can change about a team. But keep in mind, unless they really figure out the quarterback thing in this offseason, and that changes, and there is a, you know, a top 10, 12 type of quarterback or higher manning the team next year, and even then, it takes some time. Next year could be a step back year. It could be. Look at their schedule next year. Right now, in a 16-game schedule, the quarterbacks that they will face are Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and if they do have a 17-game schedule, Josh Allen. I just named six of the best quarterbacks in the league, very likely the top five quarterbacks in the league, unless you've got Deshaun Watson in the top five. That would be the only one that they don't face next year. Again, the 2021 schedule, and I've said this many times, hard to really predict a schedule, can't get hung up on it. But next year, the quarterbacks that they face Aaron Rodgers, they face Tom Brady, they face Matt Ryan, they face Russell Wilson, they face Patrick Mahomes, and they will very likely face Josh Allen. I just gave you five of the top seven quarterbacks in the NFL. I gave you certainly one through three. I gave you Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, and whatever you think about Brady, okay, whatever you think about Russell Wilson, Wilson's in that top five conversation. I haven't even mentioned the fact that they are very likely will face Dak Prescott twice, which is why I think, and I've said this before about next year, for those of you that believe that you can trot Taylor Heineke out there as the starter at the beginning of next year and that the handicappers in Vegas are going to give Washington, you know, a favorite role in the division, you're wrong. I'm not saying Taylor Heineke might not be the answer. He might be. He might be the answer. But you don't really know that. And I definitely don't know that. Those of you that are so convinced, you really don't have anywhere near enough data to actually be super convinced. He played a really nice game against Tampa Bay. They lost. He played a really nice game in that final two drives against Carolina. They lost. I'm just saying that there's a chance for those of you that are so bullish on Taylor Heineke that he might not be the answer. What I'm definitely saying is that if they come back with Kyle Allen and Taylor Heineke in a competition and Dallas re-signs Dak Prescott, the Cowboys will be at the very least co-favorites with Washington to win the division, if not the favorites to win the division. Part of that would be Washington's quarterback situation, and part of that would be looking at the schedule Washington plays. There are first-place schedules, and then there are first-place schedules. And Washington's first-place schedule next year includes the best quarterbacks in the NFL. There's not one that I left off that list. Not one. I didn't even mention Justin Herbert in his second year and the matchup against the Chargers. All right, a couple things before I get back to some what do you gots, which I'm going to come back to that 83 championship game for a moment. I can't believe the Eagles hire. I mean, Nick Sirianni was hired by the Eagles yesterday afternoon to be their next head coach. Josh McDaniels was a guy being considered. They interviewed a ton of people, including Arthur Smith, who's already got a job, Robert Saleh, who's already got a job. They interviewed Jared Mayo, Joe Brady, Kellen Moore, Deuce Staley, Todd Bowles, Dennis Allen, and they hired 39-year-old Nick Sirianni. Sirianni was the offensive coordinator for Frank Reich in Indianapolis here recently. And apparently he blew Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie away. But most importantly, ownership in Philadelphia has chosen Carson Wentz over everything else. Carson Wentz is the priority. And Nick Sirianni, who worked for Frank Reich, who was the man who developed Carson Wentz, who Carson Wentz apparently listened to. Sirianni was also with Reich in San Diego. Sirianni is being brought in by the owner and the general manager because the owner and the general manager picked the quarterback over the most recent head coach and staff, and if you believe the Jeff McClain Philadelphia Inquirer story that I read from earlier this week, they picked Carson Wentz over the rest of the locker room. The relationship with Doug Peterson was obviously fractured beyond repair, which is why Peterson had to go. Howie Roseman apparently has got pictures of Carson Wentz all over his office. They believe that Carson Wentz was handled very poorly this year by Doug Peterson and staff. They hired the guy that said to them, I can make Carson Wentz work. I'm the guy to turn Carson Wentz back into what you saw Carson Wentz before that injury in 2017. I don't know if Josh McDaniels said the same thing. I have no idea what some of these other candidates said. But Nick Sirianni, who I'll be honest with you, barely have heard of him before yesterday. Nick Sirianni might be to Philadelphia what Jay Gruden was to Washington. It's very possible. He's the guy that said in the interview, oh, no, I absolutely believe in Carson Wentz. I can make him work. It's really interesting when we've got experience with this, when an owner and a team president and or general manager, in the case of Philadelphia, both, Roseman's got both titles, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, when they essentially pick their head coach based on the head coach saying, I love Carson Wentz, I love the quarterback. When the previous coaching staff had a problem with Wentz, and according again to now some of the stories, including that incredible lengthy story from McLean in the Philadelphia Inquirer, the locker room had a problem with Wentz. We'll see how it works out. Philadelphia appears to be going down that path that Washington did. Now, Gruden was just too blunt and too honest, and it just didn't take very long before he said, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. I know what I told Bruce. I know what I told Dan. I can't do it. I'm going to lose everybody in this locker room before the end of my first year. He got lucky, remember, that year where Griffin got hurt early. But when he was forced to take him back in that Minnesota game when he came back from injury, it got ugly. It got ugly in a hurry in 2014. And Gruden then turned on his quarterback publicly like we've never seen before. All right, lots on the show today. J.P. Finley is going to join us at 7:40. Martin Mayhew, officially the GM. Took me a little bit of some time to get to it, and I'm going to explain why here in a moment. But J.P. Finley will join us at 7:40, and we'll talk about the hiring of Martin Mayhew as the team's general manager. Now, Marty Herney is still going to be, according to all reports, is still going to have a role in the organization, but Martin Mayhew is going to be the general manager of your Washington football team. J.P. Finley at 7:40. At 8 a.m., Dan Miller, who used to work for this radio station, got his start in sports talk radio, hosting with Doc Walker, whose voice you heard coming into the show. Dan Miller, who is the voice of the Detroit Lions and has been for many, many years now, he will join us at 8 a.m. To talk about what Martin Mayhew was like as a general manager in Detroit. And then we will talk to Eric Zimney, who runs the Hollywood Sportsbook and Casino up at Charlestown at 8:30, and we'll get all the gambling information for the two championship games. I've got a smell test and more than one pick on the smell test as I try to work my way back to a 500 record. Let's get to a couple of what do you gots.
All right.
What do you got?
All right, so I want to get back to the game 38 years ago. If you want to, I think the game 38 years ago, the 31-17 NFC Championship win over the Cowboys, January 22nd, 1983, is the number one franchise win. I do. I put it ahead of any of the Super Bowls. And the players that played in it have convinced me of that over the years. They really felt like the Super Bowl win over Miami was very much anticlimactic. That winning the NFC Championship game in RFK Stadium against their arch rival was more special to them. I think it was for me, too, as a lifelong born and raised Washingtonian and Washington football fan. I think that win was just felt better. It felt sweet. Now, to win the Super Bowl was awesome three times. It was. And there are other wins along the way that rank up there. But if I'm ranking the most important and most memorable wins, this is number one for me. There are two plays that are so memorable from the game. The first one came in the second quarter, and it went like this.
Tony Hill comes out wide to the right, Pearson and Johnson wide to the left.
Dexter Manley. Was the man who hit him, and White is still down and hurting.
And that's how you play big in a big postseason game. You knock out the opposing quarterback. Dexter Manley's second quarter hit on Danny White knocked him out of the game, and Gary Hogaboom came into the game for the Cowboys the rest of the way. And with Washington leading by 7 with 7 minutes to go in the game, this happened.
You know, the thing about this situation, you look at it fourth quarter, 7 points separating the team. It's also the difference between going to the Super Bowl or not. One of these teams will be in Pasadena next week, and the other one will be spread around the country watching it on television.
And the financial considerations are substantial. If you go all the way, each man will get an extra $70,000. Hogaboom fakes, throws the screen, has it batted away and picked off in the air by Darrell Grant. Touchdown, Redskins.
The whole game is available on YouTube. I've watched it a couple of times because, you know, when I've said to my sons before, look, you know, they come back after a Caps playoff game. Oh, my God, it was so loud. Or a big Maryland basketball game. Oh, my God, it was so loud. Nothing. And you could hear it on the broadcast on YouTube, the actual CBS broadcast. Nothing equals January 22nd, 1983. The thing I'll never forget about that day is we never got to games early. And we got to that game 45 minutes early, and there wasn't one seat empty. And for 45 minutes, the stadium periodically broke out in "We Want Dallas" chants as the Cowboys were out warming up on the field. I remember Danny White and Randy White and Drew Pearson and guys like Tony Dorsett talking about what RFK Stadium was like to play in as a Dallas Cowboy, as an opponent. But really, the Cowboys heard the most of it. The Giants did as well to a certain degree, but the Cowboys always got the best of it. And Tony Dorsett said many years ago that he knew walking out of that tunnel and up those steps onto the field 45 minutes before kickoff to start their warm-up activity that they were in deep trouble, that this was different. And it was. And it felt that way from the jump, and it never stopped. And they went on to win it 31-17. You know, one of the interesting pieces of information from that game that some don't remember is it was a rematch from just a month and a half earlier. Washington had played the Cowboys as an undefeated team. Remember, this was the strike-shortened season of 1982. They played two games to start the season against Philadelphia and Tampa Bay. They were 2-0. And then when they came back from the strike, this is not the replacement player year. That was 87. There was no football. There was literally no football for 2 months on Sundays or Monday nights. And when they came back, they beat the Giants and the Eagles to go to 4-0. And then you were 4-0 in early December. Imagine having only played four games and it's early December. And the Cowboys, in their only meeting with Dallas, because the other one would have been played during the strike, so it wasn't played. In their only meeting against the Cowboys, who were also really good that year, they got destroyed at home. Joe Theismann in that game was sacked 7 times by the Cowboys, threw 3 interceptions. The Dallas defense was awesome. Danny White was great. And the Cowboys won that game easily 24-10. Like, it was never really in doubt. And so when the Cowboys came back a month and a half later for the NFC Championship game, most people really did think that the Cowboys were going to win the game. The Cowboys were the favorite in the NFC title game in Washington. In that game 38 years ago, the Cowboys came in as 2-point favorites. They were favorites during the regular season, and they were favorites in the NFC Championship game, too. Washington was not supposed to win that game, which put even more into that crowd, injected even more desperation, even more bloodthirst into that crowd. And that's what it was. That's what it was in those big games, especially in the Cowboys. It was a East Coast bloodthirsty rivalry crowd. They wanted to be a part of, I say they, we wanted to be a part of the action. It's the single greatest sporting event for me that I've ever attended, and by far and away exceeds any other environment I have ever been in for a sporting event. Nothing has ever, ever been that loud, that raucous, that electric, that intimidating to an opponent. When I've heard players in the past say, crowds don't affect me as much, every single Dallas Cowboy will tell you that that crowd impacted them on that particular day. It was the ultimate in the 12th man. It really was. What a great day. I just can't believe it's 38 years ago. 38. I think when I first started doing this, it was 18 years ago, so we were only 20 years removed from that game. I think I've probably talked about this game for too long this morning and too many times over the years, but somebody sent me a tweet last night saying, Sheehan, January 22nd, you know what that is. Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. I think, personally, the greatest win in franchise history. All right, when we come back, I've got several things to get to, including a little bit on Martin Mayhew and the situation and what's really important right now versus these hires. More on that when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team 980. JP Finley about an hour from now, and then we will talk to Dan Miller from Detroit. Dan's the voice of the Detroit Lions and a big sports figure in Detroit. Used to be one here. Did a show many years with Doc Walker on this very radio station. Dan said he would get up and come on with us to talk about Martin Mayhew. So several of you are like, no mention of Dwayne? You're right. I totally forgot. I had it written down here to talk about Dwayne Haskins. Haskins signed a deal with the Steelers, a one-year contract with the Steelers. It's pretty much, a reserve future contract, which ensures he can't sign with another team before this goes into effect with the new league calendar. It's also very much an on-the-come deal. You know, he's got to perform to make any real money. Dwayne was back on Twitter yesterday. He opened his Twitter account back up to the public. Put a big picture of himself saying, hashtag, here we go. He's got himself in a Steelers uniform with the number 3, jersey number 3, and he says, 3 in the Bible stands for restoration and eternal life. Let's work. And then hands together in a praying formation. I don't know what you want me to say to it. I think he's got talent. I also know what the issues were here and know them in much greater detail than we even knew at the time, even though we were hearing things and we talked about some of those things, you know, the maturity, the preparation, the true sort of effort and work ethic it would take to become a real NFL quarterback. I hope and I think that Mike Tomlin is the right kind of guy. If it doesn't work with somebody like Tomlin, he likely won't get another opportunity. You know, and he is entering Pittsburgh at a time where there are a couple of things working in his favor. Number one is that Ben is, into his last year or two, right? I mean, some people thought after that performance in the playoff game with the 4 interceptions, he might hang it up after this year. We had Jeremy Fowler from ESPN on the show yesterday. Went through a lot of different quarterback talk, ton of quarterback talk during the course of the show. If you missed that, I'd go back and listen to that on the podcast. Jeremy was excellent. We talked about Deshaun Watson a lot, but then talked about just how many teams are going to be in the quarterback market and which quarterbacks are going to be available. He thinks that Ben Roethlisberger will be coming back. And the situation in Pittsburgh is that they don't have an obvious heir apparent. You know, I don't think Mason Rudolph is an obvious heir apparent, and I think they still have, they may not have Josh Dobbs, the kid from Tennessee. Maybe he moved on. I forget. let me pull up their depth chart here. Yeah, Roethlisberger's, they do. They still have Josh Dobbs, who is the kid from Tennessee. So you add Haskins to the mix, they clearly don't have an obvious heir apparent. And now they've got a former first-round pick with a ton of talent that if he's ready to be coached, And ready to, you know, change whatever it was that turned off coaching staff and even some teammates in Washington. You know, hopefully he'll have a second act to his very, very young career. I hope he does. I hope he figures it out. I'm always rooting for young people, especially young people, not to waste talent. All right, so Martin Mayhew. Where to start? We talked a little bit about him yesterday. Most of you understand that Martin Mayhew was a player here for 4 years, and a good player, good cornerback opposite Darryl Green for 4 years. And then he was the general manager in Detroit, actually replaced Matt Millen, you know, at the end of Millen's run, worked for Millen for a while in Detroit, and then replaced Matt Millen, and had a couple of things that I would put in the checklist of really, really solid, like hiring Jim Caldwell. I don't know why they ever fired Jim Caldwell. They had their best success, with Jim Caldwell. He had first hired Jim Schwartz to be the head coach. Schwartz is obviously a very good defensive mind and defensive coordinator, not necessarily a head coach. I thought Caldwell was a guy that was a solid hire. He also was responsible for selecting Matt Stafford. Now, that was not a tough call. Stafford was pretty much the obvious number one the year he came out. By the way, Caldwell's record in Detroit, okay, was 36-28 and went to the playoffs two different times. Let's also not forget that in Indianapolis, he got his Colt team Super Bowl where they lost to the Saints, and they also made the playoffs as well. He was 26-22. Jim Caldwell, and I'm just looking this up, he's got a career record of 62-50. I don't know in the NFL as an NFL head coach, I don't know why Jim Caldwell, and I know why many of you would say the reason he's not a head coach, but that he's already been a head coach. And he's proven to be a successful one. Now, he is 66 years old. But Mayhew hired Jim Caldwell as part of his role. Look, the bottom line is when he was the general manager, the acting general manager in Detroit, the Lions went 41-63. It's sort of what we were talking about with Marty Herney, who will have, I've been told, a role in the organization. It just hasn't been announced yet on Herney. That Herney's going to join the organization, but Martin Mayhew is getting the general manager title. Now, keep in mind, this is coach-centric. This is Ron Rivera as number one on the org chart on the football side of the operations. It goes from owner to Jason Wright on the business side, and it goes branches to Ron Rivera on the football side. Ron Rivera is the number one football decision maker in the organization, and we hope to keep it that way. And so this is one of those odd situations, like Veach in Kansas City, like Schneider in Seattle, like whomever it is in New England, where the GM actually reports to the head coach. That's how this will work. Okay, Martin Mayhew is coming in as the team's new general manager. He didn't hire the coach, and the coach doesn't report to him. He reports to the coach. Ron Rivera, you know, is the number one football decision maker in the organization. You know, Mayhew, and I talked to a couple of people during the day yesterday before it actually became official in terms of his title. And the one thing that everybody says about Martin Mayhew is that he's smart and he's a really good guy. And he's a guy that's easy to work with, that he's got sort of a disposition and a demeanor that is easy to work with. He's like a very reasonable person. He gets it. He's smart. He gets it. He works well with people. You know, the other thing, and I mentioned this about Martin Mayhew yesterday, is that I would imagine that, first of all, I would imagine that Dan Snyder's pleased with this hire. Snyder always likes somebody with organizational ties. He thinks that's very important to the fan base. I couldn't disagree with him more. I don't think the fan base cares if the guy was the coach at the South Pole or he played here or is from here. Nobody cares about that. The greatest teams in the history of this franchise, nobody was from here. Bobby Bethard was from the West Coast. Joe Gibbs grew up in North Carolina. John Riggins in Kansas. Theismann in New Jersey. Art Monk in New York, Jersey. All right, Daryl Green in Texas. Nobody gives an S about whether or not they were here or they played here or they are from here. For some reason, the owner is absolutely convinced that that is important. It's not. It's one of the reasons he was so in love with Dwayne Haskins. I am not only going to give them their quarterback, I'm going to give them a kid that went to Bullis here locally. Nobody cares. Nobody cares that Chase Young went to DeMatha. Do you think any fan would think of Chase Young any differently if he had grown up in Southern California? It just, that stuff just doesn't matter. With that said, Mayhew, smart, easy to work with, and a grinder. And this is where I would say that Ron Rivera, even though I would bet you anything that Snyder had some input into Mayhew, this is where I'm sure a guy like Ron Rivera gets it and likes a guy like Mayhew, a guy that was a general manager and then said, okay, it didn't work for me as a general manager. I'm going to go be the director of football operations with the Giants for a year. Then I'm going to go to San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and be, you know, a personnel guy. And then he elevated the last 2 years to VP of player personnel, reporting to John Lynch in San Francisco. You know, not a lot of ego there. I think Ron Rivera loves those guys. He likes grinders. I wish Martin Mayhew the best. You know, there was some other news, too, in addition to the hiring of Mayhew as the general manager. And the discussion, and I can confirm that Marty Herney is going to have a role in this organization if he wants it. And it may end up being a more high-ranking role than Mayhew has, but Mayhew's got the GM title. But it wouldn't surprise me if Herney comes in with, you know, an equal or even maybe a lesser title in this organization. But I think Marty Herney's going to be a part of the organization. I don't know the specifics. It's just been told to me that Herney's got a role in the organization if he wants it. You know, the organization made another move yesterday. They hired Jennifer King to the first black woman to be named a full-time assistant coach. Now, according to all of the reporting, no word on contract. Most of you know that Jennifer King joined the staff last winter, I think, right after Rivera was hired. She was a full-time intern. She became the first woman in franchise history to be hired in any capacity as a coach. She worked primarily last year with Randy Jordan in the running backs and, you know, earned, you know, multiple times during the course of the year, people asked about Jennifer King and Rivera raved about her. So this is, you know, for this organization, a continuation of progressive, inclusive hiring. You know, right now, Washington has a minority head coach, has a minority team president, has a female head of communications and in their radio booth, and now has become the first team to hire a full-time assistant coach who's black and female. So, all of the front office activity. I have a question for everybody at 301-230-0980. What is your reaction to all of this? Mayhew, maybe Herney, Jennifer King, all of the announcements here in the off season. They're making a lot of front office moves. I'm thrilled with the Jennifer King thing. I've heard very good things about Jennifer King. Mayhew, Herney, front office. What's your reaction to this? Is this going to be the difference maker? Is this going to send the team in the right direction for years to come? My reaction, simply put, is this. All of these moves are fine with me. I told you yesterday and the day before on the Herney stuff and even on the Mayhew stuff, I trust Ron. I do. I don't think he's elite. Somebody sent me an email and said, and I'm going to read it to you real quickly, a tweet saying, you've got an impression of Ron as an elite coach. He's not. He's an elite person, but his history is lackluster. So with all the talented minds in the NFL, you need to understand why fans have a huge problem with He's an elite person, but his history is lackluster. So with all the talented minds in the NFL, you need to understand why fans have a huge problem with Carolina 2.0, meaning, you know, all of the Panther stuff moved north. Well, Mayhew's not a former Panther. I've never referred to Ron Rivera as an elite coach, nor do I have the impression that he is an elite coach. I think he's a good coach, and I think most importantly, he has had an understanding from day one of the culture that he inherited. And I think he's got a plan to fix it, and so far, so good. But my reaction to all of this stuff, as I said yesterday, is I'm not getting worked up over it one way or the other. I can't summon up enough energy to be super angry about Herney or Mayhew or their resumes, and I can't summon up enough energy to be super excited about it. And it's because of this. There are two things that are most important. If this bottom-feeding franchise is going to legitimately turn around and become a franchise that wins more than it loses over a long period of time. And those two things are, the owner has to be kept away from all football decisions. At all costs, he's got to be kept away. Now, you can't keep away the owner if he wants to be involved. But if he stays away, finally, from every football decision, you know, even when he's been distant, he has dipped his toes into the quarterback discussion or dipped his toes into the quarterback decision. If you can keep the owner away from all of the football decisions and you can find a quarterback, now you've got a real chance. And that will be what will be super important for Ron Rivera and Martin Mayhew and Marty Herney and anybody else that is in their front office on the football side. And if it is a delicate, subtle, finesse way of handling it where Ron thinks or makes Dan think that he's a part of it, but really isn't, however he deems it the right way to handle, however he thinks it's best to handle it, and we've heard this before. I remember Keim wrote about this. Keim wrote that the key will be for Ron Rivera to essentially make Snyder feel like he's a part of these decisions, but that he doesn't really have influence over the decisions, that Ron makes the decisions that he wants to make, and he makes Dan almost feel like it was his idea. You know, that's a lot of hoops to jump through, but whatever it takes, if Rivera has that, you know, ability to finesse it and to make Dan feel a part of it without Dan actually being a part of it, that's fine. But the bottom line is he can't make football decisions. Not one. Not one. And then you've got to get a quarterback. Those two things are so much more important than the hiring of Martin Mayhew and Marty Herney and anybody else. Ron Rivera is the head of this organization right now, whether it's with Marty Herney and Martin Mayhew or two other guys. It doesn't matter. He's going to have to keep Dan away and get a quarterback. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What do all these moves mean to you? I am unfazed by them. I'm glad Martin Mayhew's back in the organization. I always liked him as a player. I always thought that, you know, the Lions with Caldwell were a team that was more capable, but his record is unimpressive in terms of wins and losses. Marty Herney's record, wins and losses, unimpressive. Neither one of them's ever led a team, you know, Herney was the GM when they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots, and it was really a lot of his players and coach that got to the Super Bowl against the Broncos, but it's not like they just hired Bill Polian, you know, 20 years ago. You know, it's not like they just brought back, you know, Bobby Bethard reincarnated. What is your reaction to this? What does it mean? Does it excite you? Is it an indication of something? Or are you with me? I'm just unfazed by it one way or the other. The bottom line is Rivera's got to be right, and he's got to keep the owner away, and they've got to get a quarterback. If they do, if he can keep the owner away and they can get a quarterback, we got a chance to be a real NFL franchise for the first time in 21 years. Your calls on that next. J.P. Finley at 740. Kevin Sheehan Show on Team 980 and Team980.com.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
All right, what's trending is Washington is expected to name Martin Mayhew as its new general manager. Mayhew and a general manager in Detroit for 8 years between 2008 and 2015. Former player here as well. Marty Herney still expected to have a role in the organization, yet to be defined. Jennifer King, who was a full-time intern and part of the running back staff on the Washington football team this year, just became the first black woman to be named a full-time assistant coach here in Washington. Dwayne Haskins signed a one-year deal in Pittsburgh. The Eagles hired Nick Sirianni, the Indianapolis Colts offensive coordinator, to be their new head coach. Caps and Buffalo tonight here in D.C., but no Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Orlov, or Samsonov. It's the first of four games that all four of those players will miss due to COVID-19 protocol. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What do all these front office hires mean to you? The addition of Mayhew to general manager, the likely addition of Marty Herney to a role that's yet to be defined as well, but it will be a senior role in the organization. I'm stuck on unmoved either way. I'm not upset and I'm not overly thrilled. To me, it comes down to two things. Keep the owner away and get a quarterback. If you can do those two things, Ron Rivera, then you've got a chance to turn this franchise into a real NFL franchise and one that wins more than it loses. And that's really, at this point, the goal, right? I mean, the winning more than losing will create the opportunity to be a part of what we want to be a part of more often than not, and that is postseason football. But there's only two ways to get that done, I think, long term. All right, it is keep the owner away, get a quarterback. Again, I want to make one thing clear, because some of you keep saying you're way too hell-bent on the quarterback. I don't think I am. I do think that they have a good enough defense, and if they add to it, it can be an elite defense, and it can be one that carries this team to good seasons. But I don't think without a quarterback, that it can be a long run of success. And I think we've got enough examples of that over the years. We have plenty of examples of that. You know, in a place like Pittsburgh last year, best defense in the NFL in 2019, or one of them. No quarterback, 8-8. We've seen it in Denver in recent years. We've seen it in Jacksonville, where when they've hit the inside straight and they've had some offensive football, they've been able to get into the postseason and do something, but it's not consistent year in and year out. What makes you a consistent playoff team year in and year out is the really, really exceptional quarterback. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Start with Steve. Steve, go ahead. Thanks for holding, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
Hey, Steve.
You know, I guess I'm indifferent. I'll put it like this. I'm glad that, you know, we have people in the roles. And I guess one of the best things is, like you said, just keeping Snyder out of that particular room, in a sense, or he can be in here. Well, if he forces his way into the room, at least he lets those hired minds make the final decision. Happy for the young lady and her accomplishment. And, you know, I am sure that, you know, she definitely brings a skill set to the table that they just didn't make the hire, you know, given that she's a female and then she's a minority as well, that she really has a contribution, you know, to the organization, to the running back room. Is it a running back coach, I believe?
Yeah, she really participated with Randy Jordan this past year with the running backs.
Okay, right. And so Randy Jordan, of course, you know, Randy Jordan had to sign off on that and coordinators and everything. And so
they've
sure
got a good staff, Steve. You know, one of the things Rivera's done, he's put together a solid staff, something they haven't had here in a while.
Right, right. So I love the stability. So kudos to that for Dan backing off and letting Ron build this house, you know, the way he did. I think that was what was the famous Parcells quote? If you want me to cook the meal, you at least let me buy the groceries or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it is.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, it's to be determined. Now, of course, we're not getting a Bill Polian, Eric DaCosta, or Ozzie Newsome, you know, in terms of, you know, draft history-wise, but I guess the way I've kind of flipped my mind all of the good of Martin Mayhew plus all of the good of Marty Herney, that should at least do some good for us. And, you know, hey, well, it remains to be seen, man. It remains to be seen. So the
look, it helps that you finally have some front office people and coaches that are bright and decent people. Yep. You know, we have, and I know the decent people, sometimes people get annoyed when I say that, but, you know, you have to be able to get along with people, you have to be able to treat people well, and I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than a losing franchise that is arrogant and walks around like they've won something, which is what this organization did well, and I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than a losing franchise that is arrogant and walks around like they've won something, which is what this organization did for 20 years. Ron Rivera is the opposite of that. Martin Mayhew is the opposite of that. Jason Wright, I'm sure, is the opposite of that on the business side. So, you know, this is a new day, but the bottom line is the owner still owns the team and is still capable of getting involved and messing it all up, which he's done throughout the 21-year ownership period. So that can't happen, regardless of the decent and quality people you have in the organization. And then really, more than anything else, what haven't we had? In 30 years, we haven't had consistency at the quarterback position with real, you know, with a real guy, with a real legitimate guy. We've had top 10 to 15 guys, but they got in the middle of it and screwed it up, whether it was Brad Johnson or Kirk Cousins. So you've got to keep him at bay, and then you've got to find the quarterback. Thanks, Steve. G, Pete, Rick, Joe, Phil, stay on hold. I'll take a few more calls from all of you, and then we will get to J.P. Finley at 7:40. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the other NFL games, the two championship games, the four teams that right now have really good franchises and are playing deep into January. I've got a smell test later on as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team980.com. Don't forget also on the Radio.com app, just favorite the Team 980. And you'll be able to listen to this show whenever you want. They've got a great rewind feature as well. Download that radio.com app.